Ghostly Talk. Broadcasting from the Straight Farmhouse here in Garden City, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on October 19th, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, we are live at the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008 from the Garden City Historical Museum in the Straight Farmhouse. We will be talking to several of the wonderful speakers from the conference this year at the tail end of a great weekend. I don't understand.
Come on, Doug. Come on. Go for it.
I have to say thank you, Cindy, from Michigan Ghost Watchers for such a great conference. Hit it.
Thank you, Mr. Laptop.
Hi, guys. I'm Mr. Laptop.
I feel like I'm watching Dora now.
I show you porn. Watch the table.
I'm sorry.
Okay, amplified sound. We have to, like, you're going to hear stuff tonight, people out there. And we are broadcasting live from the Straight Farmhouse, like Doug tried to tell us a couple seconds ago. What was the name of the place? The Straight Farmhouse at the
Straight
tail
Farmhouse.
End? Seriously, okay, we screwed up the intro like we always do.
Right? Here's what the sentence was, and I'm calling it a run-on, but I don't know.
I agree.
We will be talking to several of the wonderful speakers from the conference this year at the tail end of a great weekend, care of the Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Yeah.
It's too much.
That's a long sentence.
Well, get off the pall malls and you'll be all right. Now, we are actually at the Michigan Ghost Watchers Conference 2008 here in beautiful Garden City, Michigan. And it's been a really, really, really cool weekend. We've had a really good time here. I can't say enough good things to tell you the truth.
This was it's still going on in the other room. First of all, we are at the Straight Farmhouse, which is a historic building here in Garden City, Michigan, and it's become even more historic because they moved the Garden City Historical Museum into the historic Straight Farmhouse, and which is, I think, you know, a perfect marriage of history and time and antiquity, and it's just, it really, really is an amazing venue. They have we're in the older part,
This is like the coolest place in the world. When we came here today and saw we were going to be doing the show from, I just walked in here. I'm like, this is like the coolest like room to hang out in, and it sounds pretty good too from the test we did earlier.
Excellent.
But this is we're gonna get pictures. Is somebody gonna take pictures?
Minus the creepy doll with no fingers.
Where's that? Oh yeah, you know I looked at that earlier and I noticed that.
Creepy.
We're gonna take pictures here throughout the night. We're gonna be talking to a lot of pretty much all the speakers. that we're doing this weekend. We're going to be talking to all types of, you know, all types of people. I just can't even. I think we're just going to kind of talk about throughout the night all the fun we've had here this weekend and all that cool stuff. I really want to talk to this guest we have here.
Absolutely,
because it's been really kind of weird with this gentleman since this morning, since I got here. You'll hear about that, I guess, through our conversation. But,
first of all, this is really cool because he has answered a question. Now, a lot of people listen to Ghostly Talk, and then when they hear Ghostly Talk, they go through and they listen to every single show we ever did. There's like literally, what, 300?
And I really don't 400? Know why.
So some folks have listened to every
insert
show.
Insert body comment here.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming.
And I've said a couple of times when we're talking about UFOs, right, I have asked the question a couple of times about the Mutual UFO Network and that little sign that we saw at Marquardt Upholstery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
On Cass Avenue.
Yeah.
And I finally got the answer, right? I got the answer today about what the heck is going
been
on
mystifying
with
us
that.
For years.
Literally years.
I mean, it's
years
been
and years.
Years.
And
man.
So, and I've said it a couple of times at least.
And
probably
I'm
once
so
before.
Glad you answered it because I'm tired of hearing it.
And we did. Somehow Cindy of Michigan Ghost Watchers, MGW, they're
Ghostwatchers.org.
They're the ones who put on this conference. Somehow she, like, unknowingly booked the exact person to ask that question.
Yeah, we need
And I'm just so happy. Bill Konkoleski is director of the state chapter of the Mutual UFO Network. MUFON is the largest civilian UFO research organization in the world. Bill's media exposure has included television appearances on ABC's Peter Jennings' Seeing is Believing and Sci-Fi Channel's Abduction Diaries. He is also a listed contributor to the books Filer's Files, Worldwide Reports of UFO Sightings, which, by the way, I used to read weekly. I mean, every single week off of ParanormalNews.com. By George Filer and David Twitchell. As well as Weird Michigan, your travel guide to Michigan's local legends and best-kept secrets by our good friend Linda Godfrey.
Yeah, Godfrey.
He regularly delivers public lectures in the Detroit area on UFOs and related phenomena. The website is www.mimufon.org. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Now, I have to tell this story.
Oh,
I have to, really, really fast, and then we'll get into the good stuff, right? We got here this afternoon. Who am I lying? You were here this morning. Doug!
I know.
Doug, the
right
man.
Down.
That's a half an hour discussion in itself.
What
right
is
there.
This? October 19th.
We're having dinner last night. We're having dinner last night, and Doug said, you know what, Scott? Why don't you? I'll get here early, and I'll handle the business stuff in the morning, and I get to sleep in. Oh, my God. So we actually slept in. Doug was here. So we got here this afternoon, and we were hanging out and talking and stuff like that. I went to get coffee or something like that, and this young lady, I hear this young lady's voice behind me, and she says, you know, excuse me. I'm like, okay. You know, and I turn around, and this young lady standing there, and she's like, are you Scott Lambert from Warren High School, which is my, Warren Mott, right? Warren, you actually got to graduate from the cool school, right, Becky? I had to graduate from the lame school. She's like, did you graduate from, you know, Warren? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, I'm Becky. We went to school. Well, of course, we hung out all the time. So I'm like, oh, my God. So that turned into, you know, a half an hour conversation of catching up. And she's like, yeah, my husband is Bill Konkoleski. I'm like, no way. How cool is that? So it's really good to have you here. I had to interject that because we've been kind of catching up all day long, talking and stuff like that. I hope we can do some more of that. Now that we have this newfound common ground that we're on here, we're going to be talking to you guys a lot more. Got to see your presentation. It was fantastic. I think we were all there, and we all got to see a lot of the cool stories. And one thing I wanted to start off with, just for general conversation, is there's all types of stories around the Great Lakes. So a lot of stuff we've talked about on the show is...
So let's talk about ghost stories. No. I'm just kidding.
But I don't know if somebody asked this. I don't remember anybody asking this question. But I'm wondering, we have so much water around the Great Lakes here. Could that be a factor in all of the UFO sightings that we see? Because we've heard all these stories about water and things like that, and then there's the theories and whatnot. Well, they need water. They need more water. And I've heard these stories from other people about why there's so many UFO sightings in Michigan itself, you know, even on the Great Lakes, too. Fishermen have seen, I've heard of UFO accounts from fishermen who have seen UFOs cruising around. I've actually heard of one story where one was scooping water up into its hull or whatever the bottom of the ship was. Have you ever heard any theories, or do you have any theories on this yourself?
Yeah, definitely heard them. Whether there's validity to them, it's tough to say. It seems like you could detect almost any, go looking for any pattern in terms of UFO sightings and find it. I'm looking for a pattern that says UFO, there's a high propensity of UFO sightings on Sundays, or for people who are over 6 feet tall, and you'll find them. There's no end to UFO reports coming in, and so therefore it's very easy to try to come up with theories, and it's also as easy to knock theories down. Mm-hmm. Have I heard that? Yeah, certainly. But is there a trend that seems to support that over any other possible theory? Haven't seen anything.
It's like I said, it's just something I heard.
Well,
talking
about, I mean, Michigan, we're surrounded by the largest body of fresh water, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot more water on Earth, but, oceans and seas and things are like salt water. So with the Great Lakes being a humongous bunch of fresh water, that would be interesting to see if there's a correlation. But you're right. Just like in Bible code or something, if you look deep and long and hard enough, you could easily find something, whether it's there or not. If you look,
because statistics, whatever,
yeah, because statistics are difficult to, they're not so difficult to create statistics now that we have computers, but they're really difficult to interpret and interpret correctly. So I can see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
The UFO flaps, okay.
Thumb flaps outside earlier.
I remember the thumb flap. That's what I remember when just before we started Ghostly Talk. It's what I was staying up all night, downloading things and reading everything on the internet. At that time, there was the thumb flap. But you talked about UFO flaps here in Michigan. Initially, what, 1897?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, some in a little more modern times, at least the 1900s, and several of them. And it's just fascinating to me that all of these people, I mean, because if you see a UFO now, right, I think people talk about it. I mean, unless they're traumatized by it. At least in my experience, then again, I hang around in paranormal conferences, so maybe I'm hanging around that bunch, but I think people could actually talk about it. If you're just a bunch of high school kids or whatever, and you're hanging out, and you see a UFO, you could go to your high school buddies and say, oh my God, I saw this abnormal thing, what do you think of my jeans, or whatever, and then, they're hanging really low today, or whatever. And I just think that it's okay to talk about, but back in the 1800s and a lot of parts of the 1900s, it's probably weird. Like, it's probably something you would have kept to yourself, except for an organization like MUFON.
Well, you take the 1917 Fatima, Spain event, where 70,000 people saw this disc come out of the clouds and start shooting out sparks of light, and there was pictures taken of it, and it was a huge deal, and it was not interpreted as a UFO, something possibly from another planet. It was most widely interpreted as a visit from the Virgin Mary. So, but when you look at it, when you take away the interpretive context of it and compare it to other UFO sightings, pretty much you're seeing the same thing back then as you do now. And they were very open about it, certainly, and it made the front page of the paper and everything, but it had a very religious spin to it.
And still does. I mean, Fatima is, written about. There's art and pilgrimages and all this stuff to Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima and all. But I actually want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh. Becky's going to get hit.
What did you think of UFOs and stuff like back in high school? And I don't have
an answer to that question.
Jeez.
Oh, here comes Becky.
Oh, hi. Hi, Becky. I didn't think much of them. And, it was kind of one of those things. It's interesting to see on In Search Of or whatever, but, how's my jeans? Kind of a thing. And then I met this good-looking guy. You can't see it, but he's extraordinarily good-looking.
Well, his picture is going to be up on our website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll check it out.
We'll make sure we put it up on the front page.
Much to the delight of our...
This is the good-looking guy.
And so I met him, and he said, I've got some stories to tell, and people in the past have shunned him, and I said, well, not me. And I actually organized a big dinner party with all our friends and family, uncorked some wine, and we sat and listen to them all night, and some of us actually stayed awake
for
it. It was 5 hours, and we had uncorked some wine, so, you know. But I've been fascinated ever since, and it's really interesting. And I'd love for Bill to say more.
Thank you for
putting me on the spot.
Thank you for indulging me. So MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, the Michigan chapter of MUFON. How's it going? Where's it been? What do you, you know, how's the community being served? Obviously, you need to see a UFO, you need to call MUFON. I mean, that's like how it works, I think. So, you know, what's going on with MUFON?
Well, we've got in Michigan just about over 100 members right now. Oh, it is over 100. And the International has a little over 3,000 members. And,
you mentioned that during your discussion earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's only like 3,000 people who belong to MUFON throughout the world. I'm like, there might be 3,001 by the end of this weekend.
Very cool. Thank you. Good to hear. We have a dedicated team of field investigators who work tirelessly. Now, with over 100 sightings reported to us so far this year, that's a lot of work for a handful of investigators that we have. During what we sort of consider our fiscal year from like June to May or whatever, there were actually 107 sightings, of which we were able to investigate 101. And that's a lot of work. And so, you know, I fully thank everybody on the team who's into investigating these things and can dedicate so much time to it. And that's obviously a big, big aspect of what we do, besides being a group of people that gets together 5 times a year and enjoys each other's company and listening to UFO speakers and also learning about how to do UFO field investigation. And we've been pretty well received, publicly. I don't hear things about MUFON that's been particularly disparaging. When I was doing MUFON.com's website a bunch of years ago, yeah, I got some weird email then saying, you know, I was in league with the devil and stuff like that. But,
I hear that now from my father.
Yeah.
He tells me when I go to these things that I'm, how did he put it? Visiting the devil and conjuring spirits.
Well, Bill, I have to say, you know, it seems I'm going to be a new member pretty soon. You're talking about field investigation. I know you touched on the question and answer earlier, but in regards to field investigation, I've heard other people talk about what they do. Well, the Michigan chapter of MUFON, how do you guys go about doing, like, you know, there's a report. I saw something here. Okay, we'll be right out. So you guys shoot out there, and from that point on, is there a process you guys follow? I'm sure there are guidelines you have to follow, right?
Sure.
How does this all work?
Yeah, to start off with, to become a field investigator, we have a test that people take. You get a guide from MUFON, and you can go to the website and pick it up, whatever, and it comes tucked in with the field investigator's guide. It's an open book test,
yeah.
And then once you're ready, you submit your test and you get your credentials. If you pass the test to be able to investigate on MUFON's behalf, then we have a chief investigator for the state. Sunny Young is her name, and what she'll do is she'll contact either an investigator directly or somebody in the area who would pass it on to an investigator. And yeah, basically, most everything gets funneled through the website. We take a look at it. A lot of times we'll start off with either an email or a phone contact with a witness. Many times it doesn't actually require a visit out to somebody's house if all they saw was a flit of light.
It's not worth driving a couple hundred miles to go, okay, you saw an airplane. Yay, wonderful. Yeah, it seems like, you know, a lot of the same stuff happens with ghost investigation. I think the same process is followed. I know we're not quite, there's a lot of groups. I mean, there's some here, as a matter of fact. There's actually, there's one standing outside in the hallway who they have the same type of process, Bill. I mean, they really give you a question and answer questionnaire where, okay, look, this person, at the end of this questionnaire, this person's losing their mind. They're seeing stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you taking any drugs? Oh, I'm taking this and that and this. Okay. This kind of narrows it down. So it sounds like you guys go through the same process.
No, but I huff. You got any paint?
Yeah. So you guys obviously go through that. I mean, this is, and you guys are doing this obviously on, you know, this is your own time, your own money a lot of times too. So,
yes.
Yeah, any way to save money, it seems like that's a smart thing to do. So there is a process you guys follow, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And going out to the site can oftentimes be very telling. We had a woman in Otter Lake who had reported to us that every night she sees these UFOs flying over her home doing these fantastic maneuvers, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And so decided to go out. Okay, yeah, this is definitely one that's got to go out and see. And so we went up there, and she pointed over at Bishop Airport, and we watched the planes land and take off for a while. And she was very excited about seeing the UFOs, she said.
No.
And I was like, really? UFOs, you know, so, yeah, a lot of times, you know, and we do get some really incredible stuff, don't get me wrong, but this is one of those times where when you compare what the person said to what you see, you're like, wow, you know, people can really interpret these things pretty broadly.
Well, mm-hmm. like she wanted to, I mean, because you have to pretty much have some kind of psychological something going on to ignore the fact that there's an airport in that direction, yeah. and, you know, so, I mean, something like she wanted to have UFOs.
Well, again, it just
kind of,
and I hate to keep going back and forth between, you know, ghost investigation and UFO investigation, but there's a lot of similarities, and that's the other thing too, where we've had calls, we've experienced things ourselves. I'm sure Chris standing in the hallways experienced things himself too, where, you know, all my, and we've heard stories. Okay, this place we're going to is completely insane. There's like demons coming out of the wall. Mm-hmm. This place is crazy. There's a pit to hell in the living room. You're going to love it. It's amazing. and we get there and it's like, you know, chirp, 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 chirp. Nothing's going on. We just kind of, and we do our work. We record and take pictures and stuff, but it's pretty uneventful. So I imagine perception and reality, even with UFO investigation, are completely different animals a lot of times, where somebody will call you and say, I'm seeing UFOs, they're taking off and landing all the time, you know, in front of my house. And when you actually get there, an airport. You know? So it's just, there are a lot of similarities with this stuff as far as going out there and doing the investigative work.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, to be fair, a lot of people do see some really wild anomalous stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, far be it from us to try to debunk anything, but, yeah, this was just one of those cases where, yeah, going out and seeing, you know, what was going on made a big, big difference.
Yeah, yeah. And, go ahead, Doug.
So I'm sure MUFON has a position, but what do you why do you think we're being visited? Or how about this? Do you mm-hmm. think we're being visited?
Well, I joined MUFON basically after submitting a report to them about stuff that I had seen personally, and I was thoroughly impressed at how well they handled it, and so I sort of stuck around, and mm-hmm. yeah, now I'm where I am today.
Wow.
But, yeah, I've seen a lot, a great deal, actually. As Becky will, you know, tell you, what was a five-hour story before now takes me about 7 hours to tell.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, a lot of crazy stuff.
Well, why are they visiting us? Why are they here? Are we that interesting?
I would say it's one of those things that not the more you know, the less you know.
Thanks.
I said not us personally.
White Castle. That's my favorite.
I'd stop there, I guess.
I need fuel
for my ship.
I stopped once, or I, you know, every so often I stop there, but it's just not.
It takes 12 to go.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I think it's because we're here. I mean, we look at, you know, when you're bored, you know, if there's an, you know, basically an animal around, you kind of watch what it's doing. We're going to the bottom of the ocean now, seeing what sort of life is down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fascinating. You know, it's another life form.
Well, we also went to Mars and found frozen water. So, and that just seemed to really excite everyone. So,
yeah,
I guess that if you had the capability, you know. I mean, if you're sitting on the planet Shushbot or whatever, and you're like,
Shushbot.
Do you think there's life on other planets? And then, you know, you develop an interstellar
travel machine. Shushbotians. We're the Shish. Okay, I'm just going to run with that.
He's stuck on that.
I'm
now.
Stuck on Shish. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill your point.
And then you go, and then, you know, you travel, you go, I wonder, you know, there's life on that one. And they go there. You know, I mean, I guess it would be interesting. But I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even want to talk to my neighbors. People on other planets.
Well, you've had some experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I know I heard 5-hour, 7-hour story. We got, like, let's try, like, 4 minutes. Let's see if you can. Well, you've got a couple experiences.
For
right?
a minute.
I'd like to hear about them if possible.
Okay, I'll start off with a light one, and it's a short version of the one I told earlier, which is me and three friends one evening saw a blue light about the size of a car, height of a couple telephone poles up, sort of arc over the car, and then a white light started zipping all over the sky, and then a red light appeared in the middle of the sky. Come to find out next day at work, somebody else saw the same thing, and so that was pretty wild. I couldn't ignore the fact that that happened because, you know, it was proven to me personally and my friends that, you know, something really weird happened and there was no really good explanation for it. Personally, and this is kind of raising the bar a bit in terms of the type of stuff I'd seen. When I was 2 years old, this is my earliest memory, laying in the crib at home, this little skeletal guy came in the room, kind of looked me over, and walked out of the room.
So you've been visited.
Yeah. How about that?
A little skeletal guy, you said. Yeah. I mean, how tall was he? I mean, well, you said little, so he couldn't have been that tall. Right?
Yeah, just basically, just barely able to look over the top of the crib.
Oh, so,
about my height.
Yeah, so it was Bob.
It was me.
She does
I visited
the same thing
you.
To us.
Now you answered my question, too.
Yeah, see?
What's that?
Who was it that came to visit me?
The little skeletal guy?
Yeah, it was Bonnie.
It was Bonnie.
Oh, cool.
See, yeah, we got... We
That's the only time in life I've ever been skeletal either. From that moment on, I ballooned out, and it
stayed that
way.
Then she discovered Mickey D's.
Yes.
And there you go.
It's all over from there. I have to say, he wins the award so far, Doug.
What award? Oh, you have
We've
not...
We've had this conversation.
Yes. Congratulations.
What's the award? Yeah. I don't know what the award is.
It's an honor, actually.
We've had the conversation how most people, when they start talking about UFOs, my eyes glaze over, I start drooling, I don't want to hear another word.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say that before the interview.
I've listened to every word he's had to say, and I haven't, like, gone...
Because, each of us as radio hosts, we have our own interests, you know, our own pet interests.
I'm just interested in pissing us off every show.
Right.
There's certain things that I could, you know, I just don't care about, like dreams. Dream interpretation. Now, Scott thinks dreams are the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, let me tell you about this dream I had. It lasted 4 minutes, but he'll go on for 3 hours about a dream. And I'm like, oh, it's the longest dream ever. And it's for me, they're all nightmares. But but they're just not my topic. Well, UFOs are not Bonnie's topic, but you have captured her interest. So that is that's quite something.
Future or MUFON, we have very little time, but future as far as what you're going to be doing, anything coming up down the road?
As an organization, we just keep trying to get new members in, investigating sightings. We meet several times a year. Our next meeting's November 16th, Wally's East in Flint. Can go to the website to check that out.
We might be seeing us there. You know that.
Is that a fun cool. day?
You have new stalkers. Well, no, we'll definitely watch it.
It would be my role to piss you off.
Well, we can broadcast from there. Now, with, you know, we're beta testing this system tonight. Thanks for being our guinea pig, by the way.
Yeah.
We're beta testing the system. We might as well just take it up there with us and like, hey, we'll broadcast the meeting.
That would be really neat. Oh, that's even better.
That's even better with bring this device with
us. And a buffet. We have a buffet at our meeting.
Oh, wow. We'll be like,
you
try
sold
the,
us on that
sold.
Point.
Yeah. Try the chicken. No, really, try the chicken. Okay, your website is www.mimufon.org. That's MIMUFON .org. That's the Michigan chapter of the
Correct.
Mutual UFO Network. And, Bill, wow, thank you. And if you get any leads, anything you want to do, any projects that MUFON's doing.
We're definitely going to be talking again, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch. Bill, thanks again. We got to go to break here, guys. I hope this works out okay. This is a different setup we have here, so there might be a couple of blips and blops, guys. Just deal with it. Sorry, you know, we're
That's how Ghostly Talk has always worked.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
We
so. We'll be back coming up, actually, after the break. We're going to be talking to Christopher Bailey from Grimstone, somebody who's you guys should all be familiar with. Excuse me, dear friend of ours, so we'll be coming back after the break with that.
Ghostly Talk! 3.0. Now in paperback, Jeffrey Knight's best-selling book, The Tooth Fairy is Real. Compelling information, says Jack B. Nimble of Humpty Dumpty Magazine. A must-own for any Tooth Fairy enthusiast. Patrick DeWorm, ABC Street. And Barney Raves, I love The Tooth Fairy. The Tooth Fairy is Real by Jeffrey Knight. Not in stores.
Please note, this article written by Scott L. of Ghostly Talk in 2004 was intended for satirical and entertainment purposes only within the paranormal community.
Welcome to Scott L.'s Guide to Conducting Your Very Own Ghost Tour.
Okay, once you have solidified the personnel within your ghost hunting group by keeping one together for more than a week, you are going to need to find a means to generate income in order to finance your operations. Ghost hunting is an expensive hobby, and it gets even more expensive when you promise t-shirts to your group with the club's sterling silver-laced logo on the back, with each member's name sewn on the front of them with real purebred stallion horsehair, for example. A real profitable and reliable method to generate income for your ghost hunting group will be to take one of the theoretically haunted highway rest stops, public bathrooms, mobile homes, or topless bars that you have investigated for paranormal activity, and for a small fee take the, what we call in the business, people who don't know squat on a tour of the area. This will help you accomplish three things. Make you an easy ton of money. Increase your spending power in the paranormal community. And most importantly, raise your paranormal profit margin with the most minimal effort possible. There are other positives less sophisticated people have noted, like learning stuff on these tours and collecting evidence. But who is here to learn anyway, right? 1. The first thing you are going to need to do is pick the most haunted area that you know of to have your tours. That could be a tough decision, though, so I suggest talking it out with your group members to get their opinion.
Where should we have the ghost tour?
How about the Indian burial ground up the road that you pissed on while you were reciting lines from the Necronomicon last week?
Shut up! Did I ask you to talk?
How about at the old abandoned barn where you tried to that ugly crackhorn from the bar the other night?
I don't remember asking for your opinion. I got it. We'll use the old cemetery. You know, the one next to the nuclear energy plant, a couple miles down the road. It's really close. Those biohazard signs they posted up all over the place, they're BS anyways.
Good work. You got over the tallest hurdle. The next thing you will need to do is develop a pricing plan for your tour. There are a few things to figure into this, so take your time with it. Here are a few examples of things you will need to take into account. A. Gas for your mom's van to transport all of your guests from the rendezvous to the haunted area. Seeing that the place that you picked out in this situation is only a couple miles away, we can say at a price of 35 cents a mile, you will be blowing around $1.40 on each ghost tour round trip. B. It would be smart to purchase a small hazard insurance policy for the safety of your patrons, but it would be cheaper to just bury them out there if they get hurt or killed, so forget it. C. Most ghost tours have hot chocolate and cookies before and after the tour, but you found a good deal on Slim Jims and were able to secure a metric ton of them for only 50 cents. So let's break this down, shall we? $1.40 per round trip for gas, $0 for hazard insurance, and finally, just to get some numbers going, a little math if I may. 50 cents divided by 1 metric ton, which equals 2,200 pounds, equals 2.3 pieces of Slim Jim per tour for the patrons to fight over at an assigned, and I stress the word assigned, value of 3 cents. That totals out to $1.43 per trip, with the standard markup of 2,500%, would equal to $35.75 per person per tour. There you go. Wasn't that easy? 2. The next thing you need to do is put together a good promotions campaign in order to attract attention to your little one-night adventures. There are a variety of ways you can advertise, such as buying ad space in publications like the Phenomenews, or the world-renowned, groundbreaking, brilliant, awe-inspiring, arousing, genius, mind-numbing, and worshipped paranormal talk show called Ghostly Talk. The guys from Ghostly Talk are total suckers, too. They advertise tons of stuff free of charge on their site, all for the reason of, get this, helping the paranormal community. So obviously, you're better off finding suckers like Ghostly Talk, whether you have to threaten them with public sodomizing for advertising space or not, because advertising space can be quite expensive. And seeing that you've already maxed out your mom's credit card, pawned everything your pregnant girlfriend owns, and have borrowed to the hilt from the members of your group, your options are limited. 3. Once you have executed the proper exploitation of your little event, you should have patrons lining up for miles. Your inbox should be over quota with PayPal donations. The local news station should be out in front of your house wanting an exclusive. Your snail mail should be delivered every day in a flatbed truck with envelopes stuffed full of checks and cash. Now, here is the part where you can just say forget it, run with all the money to some crack house, party all the money you made away for the next 2 weeks, and then go into hiding for the next year, which is likely. But let's just say you do not do that and decide to fulfill your obligation that you are responsible for. Put together small groups of people who sent in money of about 40 to 50 to meet at the rendezvous of your choice. Yeah, a number that will be easy to communicate with and control in a dark cemetery with no lighting whatsoever. Pile them into your mom's van, and when it gets too full, squeeze the remaining few patrons in with a plunger. After that, throw the 2.3 Slim Jims in once all the patrons are seated, or at least not screaming anymore. Once you arrive at the destination, inform your guest that you are there. There are a few rules that you should inform your guest of before you begin the tour. No punching, no biting, no kicking, and of course, no hallucinogenic drug consumption, at least until everyone gets back to the rendezvous. Make sure to point out spots as you walk through the area where violent and horrific atrocities have happened, real or not. For example,
this tree right in front of us is where Duncan Laletta hung himself. He was in the midst of an intense autoerotic asphyxiation episode when the chair slipped. His ghost is said to have been seen in front of this tree from time to time, humping it.
That should give everyone the heebie-jeebies to the point of wetting themselves, and then your job is easy. Now all your job is stopping every couple of minutes of the tour and saying, did you hear that? Or, did you see that? Or, I feel sick. After about a half an hour of this, pretty much everyone will be out for your mom's van chain-smoking and telling each other that they felt like something went through them on the tour in between taking hits from the community joint. If the cops have not shown up by now, you may want to squeeze everyone back into your mom's van because a neighbor close by is probably calling the police to tell them they smell marijuana coming from the cemetery next to their house as we speak. Drive everyone back to the rendezvous and blow them off, even if they have pertinent questions concerning the tour, by informing them that last call at your favorite bar is in 10 minutes. Hope you enjoyed the tour!
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Nani.
This is the longest bio.
You don't need to use
look
it.
Look at this. Look at that. Look. Yours goes on for like a third of the page, and then we have Bills, and we've got.
You know, you're going to turn this into
are
a
we back?
In the air, man. Yeah, we're back, and he's whining as
oh,
usual.
Good job, Doug.
I started with that. I thought it would be neat.
Very professional.
Actually, this
well, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't even know why I put that on there. It was a waste of ink because we don't need to give this guy an introduction, really. I don't think he really needs one, but if you really want to read that, go ahead.
Well, I think I should at least read the first sentence.
Okay.
Is it a run-on?
Well, that's why
apparently
I should read
grammar
it.
Takes a big role
the
in the show.
The only one that's not a run-on. We have Christopher Bailey in the studio here. Or not the studio. We're actually in the dining room of the Strait Farmhouse, which is a historic building in Garden City, Michigan, that now houses the Garden City Historical Museum. So that's where we're broadcasting live from the Michigan Ghost Watchers Michigan Conference 2008. Christopher has been the research director for Grimstone Incorporated since 1996. His objectives are to improve instrumentation, perfect methodology, and determine new means to collect evidence of the existence of life after death. And
that was two sentences.
I can't count today. But we've had you on the show before. You've even come in and sat in on
Chris is a dear friend of ours.
You've been an absolute wonderful friend to the show since we were in awe of the presentation at the at that picnic.
2005, August 20th, 2005 in Grand Haven, Michigan.
Exactly.
I'm just filling in your statements with details.
I'll do.
Because that's when
you get the broad strokes,
and
I'll make it
live.
You do the color, yes. And it's really good to have you back on the show. Welcome. And of course, we caught your. I didn't catch your. You did two presentations. I missed the first one, the first day, because I was very, very late yesterday.
He was smoking.
I stood outside of the parking lot for 6 hours smoking in order not to see you. No, actually, I just was running late yesterday. I apologize, but today I got to see your presentation, and it never even I even asked
you
a question.
You needed to have my view. I got the presentation and his butt the whole time.
Oh wow, that had to be awesome. No, you never cease to amaze me. Today, what did you talk about yesterday and today? What were your goals for the conference?
Well, goals was hopefully not to make a fool of myself, but
and that was good because you didn't do that.
I basically talked between the 2 days on spirit photography and different photograph techniques. And also today on video surveillance. I'm more on the techie, geeky side, if you couldn't tell from that introduction, and now have a high standard to live up to, which I apparently wasn't before.
Oh, I could read the rest of this, but then you'd be like, oh my gosh, I give up. Because, no, it just describes what Grimstone does. I mean, you guys are really raising the bar and running out around the globe or whatever, teaching people... the techie stuff. I mean, you're like, you know, you take this, you even have pictures, you know,
yeah.
You have this wire goes in here, then there's some, you know, equipment, and that's how you capture ghosts, and you actually have a floating ghost. So, I mean, it's an amazing presentation, and you're out there telling people this stuff so that they know what to go out and buy or what to go out and become good at, you know, that.
Well, I came to Chris for, I mean, I literally, when I was going to buy a new camera, the only person I thought to call was you, Chris. I mean, you were the only number I'm like, the only guy I want to call about a camera is Chris Bailey, because he's going to point me in the right direction. And you did, of course. I just wanted a basic point and shoot. You're like, oh, Sony F40, or I think it was an F40 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was an F40. You're like, yeah, that's the best point and shoot on the market right now. Go pick it up. It's fantastic. So, you know your stuff. I think that's what we're trying to say. And Grimstone's been a group that's been around for we were talking about this yesterday, I think. Grimstone has to be one of the oldest groups in Michigan as far as doing, field investigation, paranormal investigation. You guys have been at it for, 11 years now?
This October, 12 years.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
12 years.
I guess we're old school, as they put it.
and in your presentations, we did... as far as yesterday was concerned, I think
they're rubbing it in because I didn't get to see it.
I didn't either, so shut the hell up.
I think I didn't get to see, but here it trades off, Doug, because I didn't get to see his today.
Ah, there we go. That's awesome. See, well, let's talk about your video presentation.
Doug worked
a great length, shall we?
Doug worked the morning shift today, so go right ahead. Get into your video presentation.
No. Actually, I want to ask about the conference. I know you've been to several conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008. What did you think of it? What do you think of the Strait Farmhouse, the historical setting, the whole thing, the folks? What are folks asking you? Tell me about a little bit about the conference.
Well, I think the last conference before this was in Buffalo, New York, so it's a lot shorter travel.
Mm-hmm.
But this conference has been fantastic. There's so many interesting people here, so many people wanting to learn and coming from different areas of things. The spiritual side, the technical side, people with new ideas, new gadgets, new ways of thinking. The thing I really appreciate most, and I've been kind of telling the other people that are in the shadows here.
Yeah.
But, oh, we'll bring them on in a minute.
Oh, please do. it's really kind of given me some renewal, always being focused on the scientific, always being focused on seeing orb after orb or other types of things, you kind of get stuck in a certain mindset. And being here, it's really refreshing.
Yeah.
It's given me a lot of new things to kind of take back and digest.
Mm.
And already I'm really excited for this next year.
You know, and I got a really – I didn't mean to stop on
no,
that.
No, no, no.
But I got to comment on that because I was thinking the exact same thing. This is going to come off really harsh, and we're going to eat a lot of crap for this probably, or I'm going to eat a lot of crap for this. But we go to a lot of conferences, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank here for a second, some of the conferences we've been going to, it just seems like, you know, there's people there that are genuinely interested. We get to talk to a lot of really interesting people. But it seems like some of the conferences we've been to, they've just, you know, they were just trying to get their photo op with the person with the TV show there. They really were. I mean, and that's fine. That's your thing. That's cool. You know, but it just seems like, you know, there was people there to get their photo ops. And I didn't really hear a lot of people buzzing around talking about stuff. That's what I'm used to, you know, out of a conference is talking to people, learning new ideas.
You didn't wake up in a different hotel.
Oh, my God, let it die. The but, next time I hear about that, you're getting hurt.
Uh-oh.
But no, this weekend has really been a... I've seen the exact same thing, Chris. Like, I've been really inspired. Especially, I mean, I was thinking that yesterday as we were crashing out. I'm like, I was really inspiring to be here this weekend because a lot of people have been asking really cool questions. You know, even us, which we get, you know, in our presentations, we're just like, you know, blah, 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 radio show, talking, whatever. But even they had questions for us that were, like, making us think a little bit, whether they were technical in nature, you know, paranormal in nature, or just broadcasting questions. So it's been really inspiring this weekend to talk to people and really have to think a little bit at one of these conferences. And I'm not taking anything away from the other conferences. They're totally awesome. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of it is people that want to meet somebody famous, and that's perfectly cool. I come for a different reason, though, a lot, and it's usually to have to, you know, think about things and learn some new stuff, and I picked up a lot of interesting things this weekend.
Well, I'm a firm believer that the conference is usually ends up being greater than the sum of its parts.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
and
right.
There were a lot of parts to this conference, Cindy. There was, of course, the Michigan Ghost Watchers, which are an amazing bunch. The speaker lineup, just absolutely incredible. The place, this
is fantastic.
Place is fantastic, and of course the goodies. Oh, goodies everywhere!
Who's gonna get 10 points for all the good stuff we've had to chow down on this weekend? And the lady standing right here taking pictures.
I know, she's taking pictures of us talking about what a wonderful spread she put out.
Oh, no, we're not going to pull you on. We're not pulling you on. Don't worry.
You've got to go still run the conference.
Cindy's running the show here, and she just didn't want us to pull her in.
But then you get the people. And when you add the people into this infrastructure, which Michigan Ghost Watchers, you know, developed and organized and put together, you add the people in, the people from northern Michigan, the people from Chicago, Illinois, the people from where, all these folks, you add them into the mix, right? And it becomes greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
and people sit and chat, people will laugh, people will tell stories. A hot topic this weekend seemed to have been like Waverly Hills, mm-hmm. and some of the places, and of course, you know, the media, the TV shows, but not so much. Mostly it was Waverly Hills and Rolling Hills and the places, mm-hmm. places that people can go to investigate, and the investigations that people have been on, or whether they want to go there. Like, oh, tell me what you got at Waverly Hills, or tell me what you did this. And I really think that the conference did that this weekend.
Yeah.
It just became greater than the sum of its parts.
It's still going on. It isn't over. It's going to be over when we're done broadcasting. But
yeah.
It's still going on as we speak. I mean, there's a speaker in there right now on the other side of the straight farmhouse here. So it's going on as we speak. So, yeah, I really have to agree. It's been just one of those inspiring weekends where it's like, I really want to get back to work here and start doing something. But I think it may be the time of year, too. I should be fair. This time of year always inspires a ghost hunter going, yeah, this is sweet, you know, and this time of year is like really the weather's great. All these cool things are happening, so it's inspiring in its own right. So I think
this time of year inspires me to get older.
Johnny's birthday month. You know, I could find out the answer to my next question by going to your website, www.grimstone-inc.com. However, since I have you here, I want to know what you guys have been up to and what you're going to be up to for the foreseeable future.
Mischief and Black Ops Operations.
Oh,
that is awesome. Who did you bring with you to the conference?
Well, I brought two of our wonderful loyal members here, Mr. Philippe.
He's around. Yeah, there's Philippe right there.
Philippe.
Is this his first conference?
Yes, this is Philippe's
first
conference.
I
want
to hear his take on the conference.
Oh, that's cool. Get in here. Get in here and give him a...
Come on.
Yes. So we're going to bring Philippe on real quick. Philippe is a Grimstone member. First conference ever. What do you think?
Well, it's just amazing that, you know, so many people from all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, comes to this one place when they can be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it would just be local people, you know, such as you and me.
Uh-huh.
You know, but...
Just the two of us?
Just you two.
Just us two. I mean, you know.
A couple candles, some wine. You'll be good to go.
We'll have our own little conference.
Great conference.
Hope that's an entirely different
conference.
Hope that's
more than the sum of its parts in that case.
Yeah, come to that party.
You're bright red now.
Even we weren't included, Doug.
In that case, I don't think I'd
be included. Okay, sorry.
No, you're enjoying yourself, though.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it'd be better if it was just the two of you.
Yeah, I'd be a little more fun. Classic
broadcasting here. You just get sucked right into this whole thing. This vacuum of just the two of us.
No, I'll beat red now.
It works, though. Don't worry.
But you, have you had, like, we were talking about conversations we've had with people this weekend, some real, you know, having to actually answer some real questions. Have you been talking to people the same, in the same right or the same way?
Like as far as
investigation, sex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's
have you had any hot conversations?
Yeah, has it really gotten warm and steamy out? Yeah.
Other than with Scott, obviously,
because that's a given,
right?
You know,
no, you want to be alone.
Well, it's just really interesting. You talk to all the groups,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How they do things and how we do things,
right?
You know, we've been around for 12 years, and all the groups are, you know, just starting out or been around, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much you know, you still don't know it all. So we're picking up from other groups. They're picking up from us. So it's a constant learning. You know, you're always learning about this. So it's really interesting.
Well said.
Yes, and I agree. I think that that's one of the... That's a bit of magic, actually, I think, in the best possible way, where you can share. And that's that was one of the themes of the conference, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Cindy is a big believer in... you know, just like Keith Age said at the beginning of Mid-South, he says, you know what, check the drama at the door. There's the drama-free zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he actually coined that to us. I don't know why.
I know.
I heard that the first night when we were at the Mid-South.
Which then made me have to get up and leave the room.
He did sort of address that to us, too.
We all just stood up and took off that room. Like, there's not going to be any fighting going on here.
Right.
I'm here to fight with
Then I can't be here, because that's all I do.
I'm here for a good time. I want to see a good time, and that involves fighting.
Sometimes that involves, yeah, casting the first stone. But, but no, the... But Cindy is also a believer in the similar kind of ideals, is that, you know, get along, share, talk, and you know, make friends, even if they are in other groups, you know. And it's not that you have to share turf or anything like that, but the ideas, the stories, that's what really, really gets to the core of a ghost hunter and allows you to grow spiritually, mentally, and as a ghost hunter. So, and I like to see that going on.
No,
I know that wasn't a question.
And quite frankly, we all know there needs
like
to be more sharing
anyway,
and less bickering between ghost hunting groups.
Absolutely. Amen, sister.
Well,
we're going to say, Philippe.
Well, Scott, like you said,
before service starts over here, let's
you have to check your drama at the door. You just leave it behind. You know, we all want, you know, everyone to think we're the best group, you know. But when you go to a conference like this, you just kind of leave everything behind and have an open mind. I mean, you have to have an open mind. You have to take in new ideas. You have to listen to everyone's speeches and presentations because you learn stuff. You make new friends. You draw new contacts and everything.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, for example, I know a lot of several groups in the area in Southeast Michigan. At Grimstone, of course, you guys have longevity, obviously, you know, 12 years. Wow, that they're coming up on 12 years, so happy birthday. You have longevity, you've got the organization, you've got the technical know-how with all the equipment and the science, and you've got all that down. You have just an amazing group, right? And then there's other groups, and they all have, I mean, because Michigan Ghost Watchers, they're a Southeast Michigan, you know. You guys spoke at a conference put on by another Southeast Michigan ghost hunting group.
What were you thinking?
I can't believe that, you know. But the thing is they have their strengths. I mean, because Cindy's been around MGW has to have been around for, what, 8 years? 7, 8 years now? Uh-huh. And at least. And they have, you know, they've built up their own ways of doing things while taking into account the kinds of you know, scientific things that you do, and they've built their own structure, right? And it's very admirable. So I think that each group has they've really done what they can and made a definitive and admirable group, right?
Stop hitting the table.
Bam, bam. I feel like Judge Judy.
You kind of look like her right now.
I do, yes.
It's the hair. So
no, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah,
someone else take over.
We have another victim, guest of the conference.
I thought this was
a
Chris, but we're just going to, anybody in the room is going to get, Sheena, you better get up here.
Holden.
Yay.
Your thoughts on the conference thus far?
Well, first off, Sheena Rogers. Nice to meet everyone.
Nice, Sheena.
Yeah, I only came for today. I didn't come yesterday.
Mm. I hardly came here for yesterday. I got here at 3 p.m.
Yeah, you were out smoking the
whole time. Yeah, for 6 hours so that I could avoid his, yeah.
Well,
you didn't want to hear Chris speak at all.
I really liked the conference today. I've been to a couple conferences, and I feel like this one was really put on very well, organized, very good speakers, good, I did 2 psychic readings. They're great readings.
Excellent.
And I felt like this is one of the better ones that I've been to. And again, with everybody really getting along, that should happen more often, and it doesn't. There's way too much bickering, way too much fighting.
Say it, Doug.
What? Yes, sister. Yeah.
And sister.
Good job.
And I feel like...
That's actually a line from Dr. Don's American Spirit Summit. So I'm going to keep using that over and over and over.
I don't think what you're talking about, but yeah, people are enjoying themselves. We said with Chris, it's just inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It really is inspiring.
Exactly.
To leave something like that and leave there with a sense like, I am doing... I don't want to go out and do more work.
Right, and it feels like, we can collaborate and with other groups, not be their enemy, and that's what I really like. I like coming out of something like this and feeling closer to people and feeling like my network has grown because, I met everybody and got along.
Well, yeah, it isn't turf wars, and I think that's something that's been going away. This isn't the Crips and the Bloods going at it,
No.
And we've experienced that in the past with, in our field work, where, we've went to somewhere and we get an email going, that's our cemetery. It's like, whoa, did you, spray paint your group logo on a tombstone or something? Take it easy. Let's go out there and... check it out and, compare notes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's really, I'm making to think that it's starting to go toward decline now. People are actually getting the message going, we need to really get out there and start studying this stuff more together. And you have more fun that way, I think. You get to meet more people that way. I think that's cool.
And two heads are better than one.
Yeah, exactly. That's
definitely
that's what
I've always said that.
I've agreed.
No, I'm not going to say anything more.
Well, what is it? It's got to be one minute.
Chris just took off.
Yeah, he took off. He's like,
we kicked him out.
I have minions now.
Yeah.
I bring
minions.
My minions, and I'll just let them talk. Chris, your website, www.grimstone-inc.com. I know, it's the same every time I look at the paper. You look puzzled. Like, why is he looking at the paper? But it's a crutch. It's a crutch. Your website, what's coming up for Grimstone in less than a minute?
Less than a minute?
game show now.
I'm going to go to the bathroom after. Going new places, going further places. We're planning some trips, things like Gettysburg, Waverly, things of that nature.
Yeah.
The standards, but at the same time, we're trying new things. We're bringing in some equipment that you would probably not even think to use and trying new ways and looking new avenues and approaches. So it's a very exciting time for us. And with this here, this conference here, it's been really inspiring.
Yeah.
I could give you 20 new things I just figured this year I'm going to start doing just because
Excellent.
Of the different speakers here. What it comes down to, with the paranormal, it's all about people. It's what we do. We're looking, we're talking with people on a very intricate level. It's their belief systems, their spirituality. We're looking for people long past. And... it's just a fabulous time to see all these different people here getting together, trying to work in unison and, make this a better community and a better understanding of the paranormal world.
Couldn't have said it
Amen,
better.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Wow, we're full of that.
Thank you guys for joining us, Chris. We really appreciate it.
After the break, thank you, Chris. After the break, we're going to be speaking with Keith Norton of VoicesBeyond.net from The Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008.
The Straight Farmhouse, the Garden City Historical Museum. We'll be right back after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.